You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.
Today on our show, we're talking with Manzoor Carter. Manzoor, thanks so much for being with me today.
Hi there. Thank you for inviting me to this interview.
So you're in Berlin right now. Tell me a little bit about what you're working on, what's either happening in the studio now or what you're preparing for.
So actually I'm working in my studio, like always, I work every day. And I'm still working on a number of new paintings with the faces subject. So I'm dealing with faces. And I just finished a series of faces called Blue Blood Cells, or it's a number of pretty faces in close-up, and they are like blue blood cells flying in front of them. And then I'm working on another painting, which is called Vanitas Number 5. It's with a skull and two beautiful faces and some butterflies. And I'm working on another painting with also some butterflies and a face. So I'm always working on several paintings at one time because they take a long time to get finished because I use oil paint and I'm doing lots of layers and they need to dry for a while. So I'm always working on a number of paintings.
Some of the elements in them, I'm sorry to interrupt, but some of the elements in them, the butterflies, the blood cells, are those referencing in particular things or no?
Not intentionally. I'm using my computer a lot for finding actual images to paint. So I have a huge collection of just images which somehow attract me, and I save them, and then I'm just starting with Photoshop just to put some things together. I just start with the face probably, and I pick a certain angle, and then I'm looking for some stuff, you know, just what fits. And then if it's some blood cells, then I'm using blood cells. If it's some butterflies, I'm going to use butterflies. if the form fits and the color fits. So there's no intention, but in the end, of course, if you combine two different subjects, like a face or some butterflies, there's always a story behind. So, and if people see these stories, it's fine with me. Maybe it's a subconscious thing I'm doing. I don't know. But it's basically about the form and the colors first.
Well, it's funny and strange, isn't it, how somehow when there are objects, we tend to want to put together a narrative.
Definitely.
Or a story or a reason.
Exactly. That's the thing. If you put two different anything together, there's always a story. And if you put three things together, there's an even more complex story. So, and I'm playing with those kind of things, I guess. It's not that I have a message to, like, I want to teach people or I want to say something. It's just basically it's images I come across through the media nowadays, because you open your computer and there's lots of images and advertising, and then you open a magazine, there's lots of advertising and images and stuff and all kind of stuff. So I'm always, it is a way to deal with all these images for me, I guess.
Well, that's interesting, right, because we're bombarded, as you're saying, on the computer with advertising, images. Now we're being kind of fed images that, you know, the browsers think we're interested in.
Yeah, totally. It's funny, yeah. And it's also a reason for me, because as a painter, you always, as a contemporary painter, like using oil paint and canvas and wooden frames, which is like really, really old-fashioned, I always had the problem, like, how can I be contemporary? How can I be in this time now, being a painter at the same time? Because you can just print stuff out, you know? And I want the paintings look like they're painted in the first, like in the 21st century. And that's why I'm using all these images from computer, because this is the way how we see the world nowadays. And painting is always, it's about how you see the world. So, and this is why I'm using basically only these images, because this is how we see our world nowadays, I think. Living in a big city and not somewhere in the woods or on top of the mountain where you see the sunrise every morning and everything, you know what I mean? It's like this is the way we see the world, and this is how I'm using it, and using the computer to just put together like as a collage to put together images. I think it fits the modern world, so I feel comfortable using these images as a contemporary painter to paint.
You know? Right. So the images, I mean, just to talk a little bit more about that way we put together a story, like the image God is Great, which I think is a fairly new image, 2015. There's Arabic writing on there. There's bodies. The title also implies something about perhaps religion or Allah or something.
Yeah, this is actually the writing in the middle of that painting is Allahu Akbar, which is God is Great. And this is the first painting of a series I'm planning to do about like combining body parts. Like this is the first, this is basically it's bodies, not faces anymore. So I'm using these sexy bodies, parts of the bodies, and I'm confronting them with Arabic writing, and which is very unusual, because if you see Arabic writing, you think of something else. Actually, in the Western world, Arabic writing looks scary, you know, because you have these stories and you have the terror thing and everything in your head. So, but if you combine Arabic writing, which always includes being somehow religious, with naked, sexy bodies, so definitely is disturbing. And the series is gonna be called God is Great, which is Allahu Akbar, which God is great, doing these bodies and the human figure and the sexiness and everything. So I was thinking, why not combining these things? Because the Arabic writing looks very beautiful. You can see, and if you go to mosque and everything, there's always this Allahu Akbar writing in every version, and it's all over the place. You know, this Allahu Akbar is a very, very, very common thing in the Islamic world. These signs, people have these signs in their living room as a piece of art, basically.
But so it's never combined with imagery like your.
No, no, it's actually it is forbidden in a very, very hardcore religious way. You cannot do this, but I think I can do this because I'm both. I'm from Afghanistan, and I'm with this culture. I'm also European, and I'm also I can do this. So because it's always a thing with what I'm interested in, how you can combine things.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, because you are from Afghanistan and European, and have a maybe more insight into a sort of what is that kind of fear of Arabic writing, but it's, in the Western world, but it is also because we've heard of censorship in the most brutal way for things that we're not
exactly
agreed with.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, you know, this is something with just, I don't know. I was like, I'm not a political artist. And as I mentioned before, I didn't want to teach people, or I don't have a message, but somehow I think if my approach, like just using nice visual things which are just nice, you know, like this Allahu Akbar, the Arabic writing is just a nice form, you know. And just using it, knowing it's Allahu Akbar, and combining it, does something to the people. And this is where I think this is the best thing you can do as an artist. Like, if you do something and people are like, wow, what is this? You know, create a question mark or something.
Absolutely. Well, on one hand, it also makes me, the way it strikes me is, you know, though I'm not religious, you know, the idea of God is great and then showing these kind of sexy bodies is sort of like, life is great. This is what God has given us, right?
Totally.
You know, beautiful bodies, beautiful world, you know, a sensual world. And
right.
So in a way that is also a kind of artist, I don't want to, maybe message is the wrong word, but it's that there's a lot of beauty around us.
That's definitely true. And the funny thing, the little twist on the whole thing is, speaking of this Islamic world and the terrorists and the hardcore the hardcore religious people in the Islamic world, they're like totally against nudity and against that you have to cover the female, and you know it's basically based on fear and anxiousness and fear of freedom and fear of everything, and basically it's a sick sexuality in the end, if you ask me. Mm. And I think if you dig deeper a little bit, I have the feeling that these radical guys who like try to, I don't know, they treat women badly and stuff like that, they have a big sexual problem, you know. And this is also something which came out when I was doing this artwork, like doing these bodies, and when I was thinking, can I do this? Is it appropriate, or is it stupid or something? And I was thinking about all these things while I'm doing this. So I decided, no, I can do this. And yeah, that is the reason why I'm like, oh, this is something that happens to me too. So I'm going to try to focus on this a little bit more, and this is going to be my future. My future series is going to be around this topic, I think.
And the topic that you're kind of exploring then, which is pretty interesting and quite provocative, is what exactly? Because there's this notion that you said you came upon, which is there's also kind of you know, this kind of censorship also maybe points to sexual problems with the men, and what else will be explored there? Or are you learning?
I'm learning. I started with the. It's basically about beauty in the end, you know, because it's maybe the fear of beauty or something. Or beauty has a big impact on people. So I was dealing with ancient Greek art long time ago, and there I found that the ancient Greek art is all about beauty of the human body. So basically, they measured the human body, and the old Greek designed the idea of beauty for a human body, which is still nowadays you can find these measurements. You know what I mean? So it's for example, a advertising of Davidoff's male body looks like an antique figure, you know. So you know, and I can see like all these things that they did it the first time. The old Greek 300 years before Christ, they did this the first time, and I was always very fascinated by this. That at a certain point, some culture invented the idea of beauty, which still exists in our nowadays time. And I was always fascinated by that. So I was dealing with beauty all the time. And beauty, where does beauty happen in our world and in advertising and stuff like that. And then with this series, I found out that this beauty is something you can really... it's something that somehow... People get somehow involved, You know what I mean? Somehow, it does something to the people if there's some beauty. Either they think it's too superficial or something, or they're attracted, or I don't know. But it always does something.
But beauty in what form? You're talking about beauty in terms of bodies, people, sexuality, or beauty in architecture and decoration?
Actually, everything. But I'm dealing with the human body, basically with the female, because I'm a man and I'm attracted by female bodies, of course. So this is my subject. But in the end, you're right. It's about beauty. It's about everything. And also, beauty is also, for me, being a German artist, or let me say it the other way, like, because I think in art history, beauty was always a subject in any kind of thing. And there are cultures, they love beauty, they admire beauty, and there are cultures, they're afraid of beauty, which is kind of strange, but it is like this. For example, if you see the Renaissance painters in the 15th, 16th century in Italy, they admired beauty. If you see painters from Germany, it was not much about beauty. It was something else, and it's still like this. But the Germans, they don't admire beauty. And some cultures, they do admire beauty. And this is the funny thing I came across while I'm working and doing and dealing with beauty and all that. And even the Americans, they have less problems with beauty than the Germans, actually. I don't know why, but it is the way like this.
Well, that's very interesting. And how do you see that in Germany? I mean, because they're just... do you have any insight into that? I've never heard that before, but now that you're saying it, that kind of rings true that you know, a German aesthetic isn't about beauty, but
it's about something else. It's about depth or something. If you just one example, if you go, I went to a couple, 2 or 3 years ago, went to the Museum of Modern Art in L.A., and there's a huge section of American contemporary artists. Then you see Jeff Koons, and you see Lichtenstein, and you see Rosenquist, and everything is colorful and powerful and lots of beauty and pop culture stuff and everything. And then you go to the German section and you see Josef Beuys and you see Hanne Darboven, and it's not about color, it's not about beautiness, it's about something else. And this was like, see, this is the proof of my theory. And it is
in Afghanistan, how is beauty perceived there?
I think that it's all about beauty with colors but I'm not really sure because I was 5 years when I left Afghanistan, so I only have some blurred images in my mind, in my brain, and my parents didn't raise me like Afghan, so I'm not quite sure. I only know that this is more colorful than Germany. This was my first experience. So I was missing, when I was a child, came to Germany, I was missing the colors. I remember that.
That's interesting.
And it's still like this. The Germans, there are cultures there, it's not about colors, it's about something else.
It's also about, I mean, who owns these paintings or who wants your paintings? Because that says something about the culture that's consuming them, doesn't it?
Yeah, totally. Well, the funny thing is the Americans. So I have more clients in America than in Germany.
And do you have a gallery in Germany or America, or how are they sold to Americans?
I work with a gallery in the States, and I have a in California, and I have an art consulting person on the West Coast. And I have some galleries here in Berlin, in Germany, one in Berlin and some other parts, but one in Italy. And it's my stuff in Germany is very hard to sell. So as far as I see it now, it's like the best market is America.
And Italy?
And Italy, the same.
Italy, I would think, yeah, that's a culture that's, you know, much more about the kind of beauty you're talking about even than America, much more so, I would think.
Yeah, but no? America, the Americans, they admire skills as well. So if something is well done, it's something Americans admire. The Germans are more different. They're more like academic. They want to see something behind. You know, they want to see the depth of an artwork or something. But I'm just talking cliche. You know, it's like, but in every cliche is a little truth. So. It's kind of
and then that's something that's very difficult to define too, but it's interesting in that you have the point of view of seeing from an artist who's also in these different countries, and some things sell some places and not others, which is an indicator of what they're looking for, like you said. And I've had that experience too in a museum, but never as consciously as you said, where you move into, you know, one section and suddenly everything changes from a different culture or
Well, but in the end, it's fair enough, because it's good that we have this different cultures and different approaches, because otherwise the world would be all the same. So I actually admire I like the fact that things are different, although everybody wants to be international and stuff, you know. So there was this one article in this German art magazine that said, "Is there German art?" And I said, "Of course there's German art." And then people would say, "No, there's not German art with all international and blah, blah, blah." And of course there's German art, definitely. And people should be happy that there's German art and American art and Italian art and everything else. Don't you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. What is that? I mean, I want to ask, what is the next upcoming show for the people who are listening? Is there anywhere a show coming up in America or Italy that you want to let anybody know about?
I have plans to do I have a connection, contact to South Africa, Cape Town. It's going to be something. And then I have the next show also in Germany, in Düsseldorf, with my gallery next year. So I have three shows next year in Germany and Cape Town.
Thank you so much for talking with me today. I really appreciate your time and your work.
Yeah, thank you too.
You're listening to Yale Radio WIVC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.